hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome, everyone, to your favorite Prospect show. Okay, well, we hope. on the interweb. Lots of podcasts, Prospects Power Hour. I am Ben Chase, Big Gentle Ben on all the socials. And I'm here with my man, Rocky Mountain Robbie.
Woo!
Waiting for him to bring out his guitar and do a little John Denver for us. But
if I can figure out how to do that, yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're starting about 5 minutes late, and already we have complaints. Oh my gosh,
Uncle Ted, forgive us. We were chatting without recording. Yeah, we have the non-monetized hellos first, and then we pop on to monetize the rest. And if you're wondering why we're discussing this, because you're listening through a podcast, thank you. Hop on YouTube and follow us there as well. And, you know, costs you nothing, as everybody tells you. And if you happen to be sitting around sometime and you see that we go live, there are several of us that pitch in to get this done. You will get to enjoy us. You can also join the Discord. There's lots of great chat and questions and things like that that can be had over there. But however you found us tonight, thank you. Or if you're listening tomorrow and this is April 1st, Happy April Fool's Day.
Hey, it is my dad's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, there. That mic is now coming in clean.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Baby.
I love when you, I took a family vacation here this last weekend. And so that meant that I unplugged my laptop that kind of is the seed computer for all of my like multi-screen everything system at home and brought that with me. And so, of course, you go and you plug that in and it resets all the crap that you once upon a time had set up. But anyway, so we've had some baseball, Robbie, some actual baseball, not just major league, minor league, not just this Tokyo crap.
I mean,
lots of fun. So, but the big controversy all starts with some bowling pins. Well, okay, bats that look like bowling pins, but bats.
Yeah, let's do it.
Really? So, our big story? Really?
Yeah. I mean, we're a prospect show, but we're going to talk about it because former prospect Kevin Smith is the one who I saw who commented or confirmed the allegations as they started. And he said, yeah, like some guys were trying out this, they called it a torpedo bat, because some sort of physicist was hired, because why wouldn't you do that? Because they figured out that a couple of their guys couldn't hit balls on the inside very well, and they didn't know how to turn on a pitch. So they thought, hey, let's change the bat instead of change the hitter. And that's exactly what they seem to have done. And this all was part of that Nestor Cortez beating that happened over the weekend. But realistically, you know, Ben, I see this from both sides here. I love the idea of within reason, you're not changing the weight of the bat. It's just where the weight is distributed. That's fine. It's not a softball move where you've all of a sudden made, you know, like a rectangular section out of the bat. Mm-hmm. So you got a really flat plane. It's got the bubble somewhere else. That's okay. What it's going to do on the negative side is it's going to take what used to be kind of bloop singles or things that you were swinging away at and you used to make contact with it. It's going to make that contact nothing. Or it's going to end up with a foul ball that you're just back taking another pitch, which I guess you could argue gives you another opportunity. So
off the end of the bat, singles through the
they're
hole.
They're going to lose their power.
They're going to be dribblers to the pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen is that same hit is going to lose. Now, what I will say is everyone's complaining about the fact that the Yankees and the Dodgers have these, and a lot of their players do. But all over the X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and on some of the folks I follow on Instagram, they've been showing all sorts of players who also use this, including
it's just that didn't draw headlines.
Yeah, including three members of the Twins, and none of those three players have hit a single home run. In fact, one of them is 0 for like 14 on the season so far. So apparently these bats are not magic.
I wonder if Devers is using one. Actually, I don't even think he's using a bat. He's just going up and striking out.
He's just going. I think he's yanking a branch off the tree and just like so
in
far
anger. He's picked in anger over tree. Bregman still. He's still upset over Bregman.
Yeah.
So the bats are we're indifferent to it, right? We see the good, we see the bad. And
exactly.
I mean, whatever. If you think it helps you, that's no different than like batting gloves, not batting gloves. Whatever. Yeah.
In all reality, it's basically the one knee catching. It really is. You know, if it helps you do your job better, great. Good on you.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone. Cool. That's fine. So the next thing on our rundown, I think I better just lead into it because it's not fun. Braves have the worst record in baseball right now, in large part because they had a four-game series to open the year. So they have more losses than any team in baseball. And then, of course, because that's not enough. And, oh, by the way, we're starting a series in Los Angeles tonight. So the Braves are going up against Ohtani and Betts and Freeman. And who knew that skinny Mookie Betts could hit just as well as not-so-skinny Mookie Betts?
I got another skinny player who double dong this weekend. I'm not going to say double dong again. That's a CBS reference. I'm going to stick with dingers. That's my tried and true. But yeah, so just because you're not getting around to it fast enough for me, Profar is a cheater. Okay. The 4-year contract, the guy is a cheater. And it's entirely possible. This is, as you said in one of our chats, this might be why he didn't get a contract real early because teams may have wondered what's going on. They may have seen some of that advanced scouting that we don't get to see and been like, something's off.
Now, I will say, I don't know. I haven't checked in on this in a while because I've not been a full-time baseball writer in a little while, but a few years back when I was doing such, checking in on testing, if somebody is getting suspended in April,
they knew a long time ago.
It's something that happened in the off season.
Yeah.
And because even spring training testing is usually like a Memorial Day or June suspension.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's usually they say it's about a 2-month lag time. So
because you have appeals, you have like, and it's all private. Because I remember this with Blue Jay Chris. Was it Colabello? So anyway, a Blue Jay that came up when he was like 27, 28 and had a very brief pocket of success and got popped right after opening day, or maybe it was right before, but it was like, oh yeah, he's going to be on the team. They're like, no, he's suspended. And we're like, whoa, what on earth happened here? And well, it turned out like it was like early pre-spring training. He tested positive, and then he had like the player appeal, the team appeal, whatever appeal the NHLPA, the MLBPA got into it. And then finally it was like, no, like you're done. Then it got announced like right before opening day where this is really like 4 or 5 days later. So yeah, as you said, they went through spring training knowing all this.
Well, and I almost have to believe that teams knew about a positive test and he was going through all the procedures coming into spring training. 'Cause he didn't get signed much ahead of spring training. So Now, the good news,
test a player to sign them. Do you think that's like, I mean, in the real
no,
world,
no, actually you cannot. That's actually allowed in that has to
that
go
be a violation.
League stuff. Yeah. The only thing you can do is a physical, and that cannot include any, it cannot include tests for performance enhancing or illicit drugs, which is an interesting thing because that used to be a thing that owners could do back in the cocaine scare of the 80s is they would test players when they came in to try and sign a contract. And if there was any trace of it on your system, you weren't getting signed. And it's a good thing Paul Molitor wasn't up for a contract at that time because he would have been in trouble. So
wow. Wow, yeah. Ben.
You didn't know that?
I mean, no. I didn't know Molitor was a juicer. Are you telling me that my 1992 World Series Blue Jay pennant is soiled in this?
Well, he and Tim Raines are two that were very prominently known for having cocaine on the field. They both got, I mean, Raines actually used to say that he slid head first so that he wouldn't ruin the cocaine vial in his back pocket.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, that was the era. And that kind of, it led to the collusion stuff in the late 80s, which then kind of led to a whole new era in free agency and all that. But anyway, Strider looks good. Strider looks like he could be back next week. Pitches are sharp. He pitched in AAA this last week for a rehab game. He looked really good. So maybe the Braves get him back. The good news is, even with Profar, they had made sure they had depth. So they have a Brian De La Cruz, and they have Jared Kelenic, and they still have some guys down in AAA that could come up and be the bench guys. Mm-hmm. So they're okay. But of course, they still got to win. It doesn't matter if you're
right.
If you've got the depth still has to perform on the field. And, you know, say what you want about, a lot of folks said the Braves just, they needed another starter. I don't know. Their starting pitching has performed great so far.
Jose Suarez off the bench, Ben. I mean, let's get into it. He was excellent.
Here's great news. Jesse Chavez is listed on the transaction report as being called up today. So he's going to be coming up. I'm guessing that I had heard already that Hector Neris was getting DFA'd.
I wonder what happened to him.
Well, he gave up about 8 runs in the first
games. Sorry. I was just thinking like that you would immediately give up, or is this Jesse Chavez like, we're going to give you a little swan song here and you can be it, you know, for a weekend home series or whatever.
It's Jesse Chavez. It's the Braves. It's, you know, he might as well be an on-field pitching coach, but
he's the jelly to their peanut butter.
So we do have a good question here right away. Let's pop this up. Otto Lopez. Very interesting first weekend for Otto Lopez. Is he knock on the door for being a must-add in a head-to-head points league 10-teamer?
No.
Well,
he's on your watch list.
Yeah, I would say 10-team, no. But 15, he should be added right now. For one, mm-hmm. Otto Lopez, almost in every league that I'm around, he is at least second base shortstop eligible. And that's a really nice thing to have off the bench if you have a guy who can play both positions. But that's probably what he is right now. I've always thought that he was a guy who had more speed than he showed on the baseball, or he had more speed than he showed on the base paths. But he was also a guy who could hit a little bit for power. I mean, you know, absolutely maxing out, we're talking a guy like an Omar Infante or Placido Polanco type of guy is what I was projecting as far as average power, but I thought he had maybe a little more speed. So anyway.
I think it's interesting, but it's too early, and there's lots of guys that had like interesting weekends. A lot of it's going to have to do with like the day in day out grind of the lineup and where are they actually going, but like Lopez, absolutely watch list. So But that's enough of boring talk. Let's get into Rocky's Tack. Everybody, ignore the 1-3 record. Feltner was good. That's a starting pitcher, people. And Freeland was great over the weekend. And Seth Halverson, the RP that I was quite fond of at the end of last year as with a bright Rocky future, was perfect this weekend. Got himself a save. It's fun to be a Rockies fan so far. Despite the record, there's things that I like. And that's okay. I want to hear about this Jake Mangum getting the call to Tampa, Ben, that you wrote down?
Yes. If you don't know who Jake Mangum is, college sports people absolutely do. Jake Mangum played for, I think he played for all 4 years. And if I'm wrong, he might have actually played a fifth year with a COVID year at Mississippi State. The guy was a stinking legend, and of course the comments were that he was making more money playing there than he would as a professional. And I think two of his last 2 years, both, he was on the preseason player of the year watch list. So very good college player, but one of those guys who was a college player that you weren't quite sure was going to translate to the pros. Mangum is a big reason why we have what we have for NIL right now. He was in college sports. And so he was a big push on that. And probably the last famous guy who didn't get a famous college player who didn't get to cash in on it the way he probably could have legally. Now, like I said, we don't know the numbers that he got off the books, but anyway, he's probably just a guy who, because he can play all three outfield positions defensively, that kind of fits a Tampa Bay thing.
But he's 29 years old, you know, batted 317, 357, 442, 56 RBIs, 20 stolen bases last year in AAA. Like, I mean, he's older, so people aren't going to be as interested, but the stats look like they could be there, like translate to fantasy,
but
mature hitter.
He's what, 25 before he started in the minors even?
That sounds right.
Because he like I said, he played 4 or even 5 years of college. So I thought it was interesting because that's a quote-unquote famous name that probably won't turn into a ton at the major league level, but one of those guys that has a backstory that we don't think of very often. So anyway, I plopped that on there because it was an interesting call up that happened today. So
yeah, that is a neat one. So Ben, opening week we'll say is over. In two of my leagues, we used a short week, what we called it, four full days of baseball, and ended a fantasy week. And not everybody was really happy about it, but it's how it worked out, simply because of the fun of Fantrax with some of my leagues, where they said, well, if you want a long period, we can do the Japan games and then 4 days, which gives you 6 days. And I was like, sure, 6 days is fine for the first week, not realizing that it was two games in two of those 6 days. Mm-hmm. So I had a tiny bit of blowback with it, but it kind of gets an extra fantasy week, which for some reason last year, I think most leagues that go head to head ended up with 20 weeks at most, which is a little less than the MLB norm. That aside, what was your favorite part of opening week?
You know, in all seriousness, and this is going to sound like a really, you know, taking advantage of the moment sort of thing, I have been talking all winter long about how the Brewers just needed something in the starting rotation, and they didn't. They had all sorts of Wade Miley types, you know, like we've talked about this, that they know how to make that pitcher do well. But you can only have so many of those guys. You need a Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff at the top of that rotation in front of those guys, and they didn't have it. And it showed bad this weekend against the Yankees. The Yankees just teed off against Savale and against Nestor Cortez. And those guys are going to have that sort of stuff happen all the time. I don't know what's going to happen here in Milwaukee. That division, I mean, the fact that the Cardinals are 3-0, I mean, I live in the upper Midwest, and I'm a Braves fan. So my secondary team is the local team, which is the Twins. This is a really crappy opening weekend for me. Mm-hmm. But no, I really, that was something that kind of reaffirmed something that I've been worried about quite a bit for that team. And frankly, one of the things that impressed me was to watch some of the offense that you saw in their own division. And granted, the pitching from their division mates did not do so well. But if the Reds and the Cubs and the Pirates and the Cardinals are all hitting and they're going up against that starting rotation, that could be a really long year for the Brewers. So
your favorite part was that your teams failed. Is that correct?
I mean, and that, it was
that the Milwaukee didn't have a legit top two SP type guy.
It was one of those where it reiterated. So it made me feel like I knew what the heck I was talking about when people kept telling me, okay, no, Milwaukee will figure this out.
Right.
Milwaukee,
yeah, they got
will it, get yeah this done. And I'm like, yeah. So,
yeah, fair enough. I quite liked the Toronto Baltimore series that I believe ended 2-2. Mm-hmm. Baltimore kicked Toronto's teeth in on opening night. And then it became baseball after that, and Toronto won 2-3 the rest of the way. It was good. Hoffman got his first save as a Jay, which everybody wants to get excited about the things that go well. But I think the most comical part of it's kind of like you saying, like, Toronto is an incomplete team to me, and they've got this high payroll and whatever, whatever. Their bottom third is insulting if you're a general manager, because it just looks like this is things that went wrong and you weren't prepared. And this is where a lot of those like AAA contracts are supposed to be, you know, the opt out guys, mm-hmm, they should have the Kevin Pillars. Pillar would have been an excellent guy for Toronto. Absolutely. To have in camp.
Yep.
And instead he had opening day in Texas, which was great for him. But I just thought it was interesting, a fun series, and Toronto.
Hey, Alan Rodon looks like he belongs.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. He does. Yeah. He looks fine.
Numbers may not be beautiful, but he works every stinking at bat, and I really am impressed with how he handles himself already. So
yeah. Oh, and the tourney, I'm not exactly sure what this means from Ty Luke's. I don't know what those words are on the screen here. Something Pilar, but yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah. So let's get to the segment that can't be aired yet until we figure out how to make it our own. As you will know from listening last year, people, oh, Luke's greater than that said greater than. Interesting. Interesting. Let's get to the formerly known as Jesus Takes the Wheel pick, and we won't play it for copyright reasons, but we're working on it. So Ben, I'm really excited about my pick. I think this is very much like my Mitchell Parker pick last year, and my backup, which was also my original pick, is just me not learning from previous mistakes. So the two options I'm going to give everybody, and before I tell you the names, keep in mind, I'm picking basically a Tuesday, Wednesday starter for this week who's got two start potential the next week, which means over the next two scoring periods, or if you're in Roto, whatever, your next 10 to whatever, 15 days, you have three starts coming from this person, mm-hmm, that I think are all interesting. So I'm leading off with Milwaukee's new SP2. Okay, Ben, this is the guy they should have put up against the Yankees on Saturday. Chad Patrick, a 26-year-old fourth round pick in 2021. I believe he was picked from Arizona and there was a trade. 6-1 righty. Last year, 14-1 in AAA with a 290 ERA, 145 Ks, and 136 and a third inning pitch with 39 walks and a 1.08 whip. He's going to take Kansas City tomorrow night, and it's either going to be then it's against Cincinnati this weekend. I believe that worked out that he'll have the Sunday start, and then next weekend he's at Arizona. That's not bad. You're out. You're not playing in Great American Ballpark.
I was going to say, but Arizona ain't a great ballpark.
No. So one bad park in three.
And Kansas City is one of those that
we don't know. Kansas City
plays like Coors without the altitude. really big outfield that could give
they're in depth. Milwaukee, I believe, aren't they? Or are they on the road?
That could be, yeah, I guess I had,
when I looked, I put versus, so okay. I assumed they were home. So I can double check that. But that's my one pick. Now, if you, like me, listener, are a glutton for punishment and you like a guy with a name, and this is a prospect show and this guy was a prospect, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to reintroduce Matthew Liberatore. He will take on the Angels tomorrow night. And then he will take on either Boston or Pittsburgh. And that's Sunday. It'll be Boston. If not, it's Monday, Pittsburgh. But next weekend, it's going to be Philly. So realistically,
get him out of your lineup by Philly.
Well, I was going to say, realistically, he's got two starts to prove to you that he should go in for the third one. Right? Because even if it's Boston on Sunday, that's a really good test, but they're not on fire at this moment. They didn't come out of the gate strong. LA tripping over themselves right now. I think they've got some, I don't know, I would like to say weather issues. They've got something going on in that lineup. They haven't been able to put together a good inning yet and make something click. But Liberatore is your backup to Chad Patrick. And I think Patrick is a legitimate option that could get some run. We'll see. He did pitch one inning already this year. So we'll see if he's spot starting or if he is going to be settling in. I know last year Milwaukee had spots open early and they tried to with was it Carlos Rodriguez? That didn't work out so well. But yeah. Anyway, that's my yet to be named Jesus Take the Wheel pick player for week one. And we will, as we did last year, check in on this at the, you know, it what'll it be mid April, we'll check in and see how these two guys did. So
in the chat here on YouTube, if you're on our YouTube with us, Uncle Ted's been just kind of going off.
Yeah, we almost have to ignore it. It's just so heavy.
Much Angels. No. but I will say, I agree. I really liked what I saw out of Jack Kanowicz.
Yeah.
You know, really, this is, but I will quickly tell you, if you are in a quality start league, you want Jack K. If you are in a league that values wins and pure strikeouts or even strikeout rate heavily, you do not want him because that is not going to be what he does well. He is going to be a very good very good ground ball pitcher. The angle he has with his, I think he's 6'6", and he comes over the top with it, and it gives a goofy angle to the pitch and makes it almost impossible to drive, something he's always done. Yeah, I know. He had 4 strikeouts in 6 innings this last time. He's, you know, extrapolate that over a whole season, and if you had 200 innings, that's not going to be so great as far as your total strikeouts over 200 innings. I mean, quite frankly, you want a really good comparison. Yeah, the overall, I guess, if he can keep pitching the innings, his total strikeouts are going to be okay. So, but you're definitely, if you're in a rate league, you don't want that. But yeah, I really was impressed with him. I could see him doing well. And they have an okay defense. It's not a bad defense in the infield. They just don't know how to do the other part of the game. It's not an elite defense. They're an adequate defense. They just can't hit for squat right now. So, but yeah, Jack Kay is an interesting guy. Would I drop Michael Wacha for him? I mean,
it depends on your league, I think, but if K's on the waiver wire and you want to ride some promise, I think you've got more ceiling with one, and obviously you got more floor with Wacha. So just make that determination for yourself, right? The Angels are going to struggle with him for wins, not because of what he's doing, and the Royals have a bit of safety net potentially over... I mean, it's really early in the year, really, to say it, but we assume the Royals will be a better team. So, but anyway, let's get to what this prospect Power Hour show is about. 27 and a half minutes in, Ben. First weekend reactions. I gotta go with Ty's thing here of Halverson or Slayton. I'm sticking with Halverson, but I that's just as a pitcher. I prefer him. I know that was a lot of talk for waiver wire Sunday because people did have didn't have Slayton, sorry, lined up. But I would stick with, again, you're talking to a Rockies fan, right, guys? I've got a hat. I got a hat. I've got a purple bandana. I'm a Rockies fan now. It's a, you know, bye-bye Blue Jays. So anyway, let's get to first weekend reactions from Triple A. We've got a few to get to. We got a quick ad coming up, and then we're going to get back. But MLB talk is going to be on pause, everybody and everyone in the chat. We do thank you for the comments and participating. But let's turn it now. Go and check the digits to find out what happened in AAA baseball as you're listening with us. So, Ben, your first one off here is Roman Anthony is a beast. So is Nick Kurtz.
Yeah. I mean, both of them. I mean, Anthony is coming back to AAA. So the fact that he went, he got himself a pair of home runs, not surprising. Nick Kurtz is going into AAA after being drafted last July.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and he's considered not really being rushed because this was like highly expected.
Yeah, they were expecting that he was, there was some rumors that he was going to AA and people got upset about it, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, but why aren't we pushing
both? They both immediately showed. They both right away showed that they were ready for that assignment. And I think you're going to see both of them very soon. The next guy I talked about is one that we mentioned when we got into the Marlins and how they had acquired so many guys. And one of the ones they got this offseason in the Jake Berger trade was Maximo Acosta from the Rangers. And, man, I was impressed. I pulled up one game. I literally have only watched one minor league game so far this year, and it happened to be watching Jacksonville and watching him play. And I mean, defense, offense, on the bases, he did so much, and it was really impressive. I don't know how, you know, we did talk about Lopez here just a bit ago. I don't know how Acosta isn't getting full-time playing time very soon in Miami.
Yeah, like, the opportunity is certainly there within the organization. Mm-hmm. And if you're Acosta, you want to be promoted to get out of that jumbo shrimp jersey. You know, I mean, I love it as a fan, but I feel like as a player, you really want to be a Marlin versus a jumbo shrimp. So love the fish theme, you know,
but who really wants to be a contrast right on their shirt? I mean, a jumbo shrimp. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
very well said. So, one thing that we definitely agree on here is Milwaukee, although they're missing that true ace, they've got some K machines hanging out in AAA. Mm-hmm. A trio of starting pitchers, two of which I think are in very important years for themselves within their professional MLB development. Had very good K weekends. Jake Mizrowski had 7, Carlos Rodriguez had 7, and Logan Harry Henderson had 8 over the weekend.
Don't look at Logan's ERA. You don't want to.
We just picked one stat. We're going to stick with one stat.
But he, I mean, all of them, the stuff was really impressive. Logan's just kind of straightened out quite a bit, and folks took advantage of that. So it is what it is.
Yeah. But really good to see early in the year. Now, they've talked before, no matter what happens, right, either the bats are ahead or the pitching is ahead out of spring training. But for these guys, it's nice to see that three pitchers all obviously were well coached to handle the lineup as far as swing and misses go, which is good. And somebody else who had some good swing and misses, Bryce Elder, struck out 7 2/3 innings. He did walk 4 and was, quote, lit up. What do you think here, Ben? You're a Braves fan. This will be the last time I bring up any sort of Brave tonight.
Well, he came up to the majors because Ronaldo is going on the injured list. Another bit of the fun news today for the Braves. But I just, it's hard to get too excited about Bryce Elder. Even in the year that he was an all-star, you were just waiting for the other shoe to drop all year long. It just kind of pitcher he is. But just, I mean, it is interesting. That's 8 outs, people. If you do your math, 2 2/3 inning, that's 8 outs, and he got 7 of them via strikeout. That's pretty impressive for a guy who's like a 90-mile-an-hour pitcher. So, you know, he's doing something to generate swing and miss. But
Yeah. So now we are going to go to an ad break. Now, this is a specialty tonight, everybody. I want to let you know that I have made this ad. It is very exciting for me. And it's not going to cover the whole screen if you're watching, but it's going to cover a bunch. Okay. Ready, everybody? Ready?
From Alvin and the Chipmunks, you're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Polanco Podcast. Two L's, two
Z's. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I made that. I made that, everybody.
Yay!
Now, I wanted that to go on their social media, and they said no. But I thought it was funny. They said too topical for the audience. But anyway, so that's the ad break for today. So back to first weekend reactions, Ben. I threw in a few names amongst some of the other ones that you had in this section here. So we'll start off with another one of the jumbo shrimp, Cade Gibson, 6'2" lefty, 27-year-old, 3 innings pitched, 6 Ks. And the save over the weekend, he was a 2022 10th round pick. I believe I have that written incorrectly, but I have said it right for the listener, who was solid in 24 in A and double A, and then is in this role, which I believe is new for him to be coming out of the pen. And again, 3 innings, I don't think that's going to be common, but we're just putting a tag on the guy. If you like to watch guys in your dynasty leagues, if you can pick up in season as I can in one league, Gibson now gets the old watch list click for me. So let's see what else happens with him, right? Miami's really fluid for pitching. We could see arms. You never know if he's 27, right? So he should be ready to go up as the Marlins see fit. So I thought that was an interesting one.
Okay. Our fearless leader has told me I'm supposed to do this for you.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I wasn't going to do the whole 25 seconds, but I thought that, you know, it was worth it.
Yeah, so, I'll take it. Yeah, so
there we go. So it's just following orders.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Ben, Marco Luciano and Robert Hassel, post-hype emergence. We talked about both guys in our Big Three Next Three, which anyone listening now, if you want to hear prospects to think about today, guys for tomorrow, check out any of the teams. There's 10 episodes. We cover 3 teams per episode. That's all 30 MLB teams. Luciano, we were concerned with within the Giants organization. And Hassel, Ben, you were pretty excited about the fact that they were giving him lots of time in spring training.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking now?
The two of them posted, I believe, 2 of the 4 highest exit velocities of the weekend. Something like that. They were 2 of the very best. Luciano, when he first kind of exploded onto the scene in Arizona, it was because of just how hard he was hitting the ball. And that just, when he kind of got hurt in that next year, when they were trying to push him up maybe a little too fast, but he's never had the same oomph in his swing since. When he loads it all up, he can, but it's just never been free and easy and giving you the same type of thump. And he did this weekend. Hassel, that's always been the question for Hassel, is he just doesn't have enough impact with his bat. And he hit a 113.5 this weekend, which that would have put him in the, like top 2% of the entire major leagues over the first weekend of games. And that includes all the Yankees and Dodgers with their bats. So I don't, you know, one of the things we run into as prospect people is once you've heard about a guy for 2-3 years and he hasn't made it or hasn't taken a big step, you just kind of go, whatever. But
Blaze Jordan is an excellent example of that. Yeah. A lower level, because he was the YouTube guy that everybody knew something about, and then
600-foot home run.
Yeah, when he came out and then started playing, you know, professional baseball, it wasn't coming as smoothly for him. He was doing okay, but he ended up with like some, you know, we talked about last year, some mental setbacks that he's had to overcome. So, yeah, interesting for both guys. So we would like to see good things from both of them, and yeah, so far so good. So. Kobe Mayo hitting dongs and waiting for his chance. Is a trade more likely than a promotion? And Ben, to you, how should Toronto go about it when they deal Vlad there in July? Obviously, Basilo, who's clearly a flop, he only has one home run so far and a 125 average.
Yeah,
and Mayo. And what gets Vlad in orange? So it's the Vlad to the Orioles rumor that I'm starting right now. Keep in mind that at this point in July, when they'll be making the deal, Chris Bassett's going to be tossed in because they're going to need an arm. And Bassett, I believe, is in the last year of his three-year deal. So even if he's not, he'll still have a year left. So Basilo and Mayo, and what gets it done, do you think? Because well, Mayo's ready.
Like, Mayo's ready, but...
Toronto needs a third baseman.
Right now, with Couser going down today for the Orioles, you kind of wonder if some of that doesn't shuffle things around a little bit. And maybe there's an open spot to spend some more time at DH up at the major league level. I would really love to see them let Mayo come up, get comfortable hitting.
Yeah.
And
then put him in the field.
And then put him into the field because, yep. I mean, Ramon Arias is a very solid.
Absolutely capable.
Yeah. And you got Jordan Westberg. You've got – and Holiday is showing that maybe forcing him to change positions wasn't such a great way to bring him to the majors last year because he looks a lot more comfortable playing shortstop and at the plate. So, yeah, I could see a little extra Mayo. Ha, ha, ha. But
spread around the field? Well, not yet.
But, yeah. But I have trouble seeing them getting all the way to, like, June, July without him having – 50 at bats at least in the majors.
Yeah. He's on the rot, like 40 man. You can bring him up and send him down all you want. Why not? Like, so I did see it was Carlson that got the call, right? Yeah. There we go. Yeah. And so and that's fine. And burn.
Yeah. That's just it. You bring him up. If he comes out and he's, you know, really hitting well, great. Otherwise, yeah.
Speaking, Ben, of hitting really great, Minnesota twin Mickey Gasper, 2B DH type, might be an early season deep league darling. Only 2% rostered on Fantrax today, but it looks like he might get at bats that weren't expected. This is like, obviously, this is super early in the season, but this is one of the few guys who made an opening day roster without anybody being excited for him making it. And I saw a comment on you liked him and commented on him in the offseason.
Mickey's a solid player, one of those guys who, if he's on your bench, you've got a very solid player all around the field. I think he fits very well into like that Kyle Farmer type of role. He's not quite as athletic as Willie Castro. But, I mean, the Twins had both Farmer and Castro last year. Yeah. Well, now they've got Castro, and they've got a similar guy to Farmer on their team right now in Gasper. I wouldn't bet any money on him continuing to hit quite like he has so far, but he should be capable with the stick to where he can hold a job, you know, and not going to be so bad that he gets sent out because he's hitting, you know, 096 or something like that. Mm-hmm. After 100 at bats. So, but really he's kind of a placeholder here until A, Brooks Lee is healthy, and B, Luke Kuechel has some time under his belt playing second base. And that's the unfortunate part, is he's certainly nowhere near the player that either of those two are, but that's okay, because I think if he can do what he's doing right now, he's going to show I'm worth keeping on the bench when those guys come up, and you can send down Edward Julian, you can send down someone who's kind of more defensively liable.
Yeah, and this way, yeah, like, so he's got time right now that he's clearly earned through spring training and with Baldelli, right? So we'll see what happens. But I think I picked him up in a 130 team league just because my other option was Chris Taylor, because Nick Gonzalez, who had a hell of a first game, also ended up on the DL.
Yeah. And
I was like, no, you can't come out and be good on a team that needs you to be good and then get hurt the same damn game. So anyway, Gasper is my emergency band-aid, and we'll see if he can just put up, I don't know, 2 points per game, I think would be asking a lot of a bench role guy, but we'll see if he can do it. Somebody that I used to be very fond of and then just patiently have waited on, really had an excellent weekend in AAA. Reese Hines of Cincinnati wants back with the Reds after 6 RBIs, 2 home runs, and 2 walks, which is the important thing for Reese Hines, the 2 walks.
Yeah.
We know he can smack a ball. He does struggle to walk, but this was a good sign, Ben. I like this.
Reese Hines as a 3 true outcome player is a very viable major leaguer. Reese Hines is a guy who has power and strikeouts only, not so much. Because he has a little bit of defensive ability. The guy's got a really strong arm, can sit out in right field, and he's fairly athletic to go after the ball out in right field. But that isn't going to be what brings him to the major leagues. It's the fact that he's got legit plus power, and he needs to be able to get to it. If he's such a liability at the plate with strikeouts that he can't force a pitcher to get into the zone on him, then he's not going to be back up. But if the walks are a very, very encouraging thing for him.
Yeah, and it's really just a matter of time with Cincinnati before somebody is, not performing well enough in the outfield that they might consider a promotion if somebody's doing well in the minors. Will Benson's also down there. He's got to obviously be a standout to get back in the good graces that he was in 23 with the Reds. So it's competitive on the major league level. It's also competitive for the Reds in the minor league level, which is great. Recently acquired designated hitter for the White Sox, Kyle Teal, down in AAA.
You don't want to call him a catcher.
He had 2 home runs and 9 RBIs, Ben. This is interesting. Chicago could use a DH. I know the talk is rush him up, but Teal specifically, this is a good acquisition for the White Sox.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him rushing up, but
no, I like, for one, their pitchers are young right now on the starting rotation. When your best pitcher is a rookie, Sean Burke is still a rookie.
Hey, Davis Martin did fine too, guys. Let's all,
is true. And and they do have Martin.
I'm in the Martin camp. And then Shane Smith hasn't even got his time yet.
Yeah, there we go. But I mean, you've got a very young staff. Having a couple of wily old veterans who, emphasis on the old, be the guys who are handling the catching duties rather than Teal and Edgar Cuero, who are your future at the position. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good idea. And likewise, I'd like to see Teal have some more time in AAA hitting like this before I worry about making him a DH at the major league level, because his value is certainly going to be significantly more as a catcher.
Right. Winning games this year with the intention of it continuing. If you you don't have pennant in your eyes here. You've got development of your players, and you're trying to find out who's your new core.
I mean, they are pretty much the, if they would have won yesterday, they actually would have had first place over the Guardians, which, god dang, would that have been great to be able to say that the White Sox held first place for a day.
that could end up being the highlight of the season. We'll see. It's a long year here.
Yeah.
I thought the Teal news story was good. And an interesting fact that I don't think anyone else cares about but me. However, I'm at the mic, so everybody listen up. Seattle shortstop Leo Rivas, who was initially hoping to break camp with the Mariners and looked like he was just going to be a bench guy, hit 2 dingers yesterday or this weekend. His MILB career high in a year is 7. That's in 95 games. I think he did that in 2022. So he's now hoping that he can have this excellent start to the season and get himself a promotion. He is 27 years old, but he's been in pro ball for 10 years already. there's still some career left for him. If he by chance was working on his power this offseason to try to make a change, that would be good. He's a decent eye, you know, good hitter. But this could be an interesting one because Seattle has struggled mightily with shortstop. You know, J.J. Crawford had a pretty bad year last year. He has not started hot this year. Definitely not a defensive liability, but you do need hitting in Seattle. And at some point they might say, hey, Rivas was up. He's already on the 40 man, blah, blah, blah. Bring him up. Let's see what he can do. It's just one guy to watch, you know? So,
and I mean, Ryan Bliss actually hasn't been half bad this year so far, but that's not a long-term answer either. You know, obviously I've been very outspoken in my comments about Cole Young this year for the Mariners, but
yeah,
through these kind of guys first, and maybe Leo, I keep wanting to call him the former Twins second baseman, Luis Rivas. Leo Rivas needs to really just kind of have the shot to show he either is worth keeping on the roster or not. And that's probably that first month of the year. And that's like all along I've been saying, you know, Cole Young's not going to be there first day. But I think he comes up at some point early in the season and makes his impact. That's what it's going to have to be, is likely some point in like May, but you're going to get the first month here. So that's when, you know, if Rivas wants to make his mark, he's got to do it. So he started out hot right now, so maybe he can earn that way up.
Yeah. And Ben, just so we're not ignoring all the pitchers who only had one start of some use, we had some pretty good K performances, 4 2/3 innings. Carson Wisenhunt for the Giants had 9 Ks. Mm-hmm. Carlos Duran for OKC had 8. JT Ginn, who several people thought Ginn should have been with the A's. Anyway, he had 8 Ks in 5 innings. Carson Seymour with the Giants as well had 8. Those are the big guys. And I did hear, I think it was a Sunday show with Mike VA in Britain, where people were talking about Dolander and, you know, kind of watching him with Albuquerque. Austin Gomber had an excellent rehab start, and Dolander had a very good start too. Yeah. So, also for people who are wondering about Kyle Harrison, he had 4 innings pitched. They talked about him needing to get time back up. You know, I'm definitely betting on him for 20 plus starts this year with the Giants. So, four innings, 5 Ks, held it together.
The big one that I caught my eye, Yelber Diaz, 1 walk and 6 strikeouts over 4 2/3. We've always known he can strike guys out, but if he can keep that walk number down, he can be a pretty valuable guy for the, probably more as a swing man for the Diamondbacks, but still, you know, they've lost now Montgomery officially. There's a spot there that somebody is going to take in the back of that rotation.
And Ben, leading the way in walks given up in minor league baseball this week, Mason Barnett of Las Vegas, or future Las Vegas, current Las Vegas also with the A's. He gave up 6 in, 2 2/3 innings. So not great, but, you know, 24, there is life and career left for Barnett here. So, Ben, we were going to get into all of the fun, exciting lineups and where the assignment, of minor leaguers, but the teams have really been holding those cards close to their hands. So we're going to put that off until next week. We said we do it, or in 2 weeks once they had established.
We'll get her next week.
Is it next week?
Okay. Starts this week. So they've got to assign them at some point here, but I think everything starts tomorrow even, but they haven't announced them as of like just before we went on the air.
This happened last year.
Yeah.
And that we were clicking during our show to try to figure out where in the hell these guys officially were. So,
yeah. And I think Chad happened to be in the chat telling us where about half a dozen people went. So, you know, that's, rather than doing that, we'll wait till next week. We'll talk about it. I did notice already there, you know, in the transactions log today, it's already 3 pages. So you can tell teams are starting to get there, starting to do their moves. I really like what the Diamondbacks are going to have at high A. Crisantes, Johnsell Lewis, Waldschmidt and Drew Jones, all at that same level. So mm-hmm. that's four of probably their top six hitting prospects overall in the system will all be at that one level. That should be a lot of fun to watch. That's one that stuck out to me so far. But like I said, not much has really truly been announced yet.
Okay. Well, we will wait with bated breath on all that. Do we have anything else to cover, Ben, or are we about to set a record for shortest show?
It's a politics thing, but that made me giggle. That somebody would get escorted out of a game for wearing
yes. kind
of pretty much anything. I do not believe that is it is just silly. But that's
so yeah. The comment on the board here for anyone listening is from one of the followers through YouTube saying about a Blue Jay fan that got kicked out for wearing a shirt that was made famous through hat form from the oh my goodness, what is old Doug Ford here, the premier of Ontario. Mm-hmm. It said Canada is not for sale at something he did. Now the company that owns the rights or whatever to that shirt, they print it everywhere. You are technically not allowed to have anything political, I believe, at any MLB stadium. Which, I mean, wouldn't that just mean a flag? I don't, you know, we're not getting into that game of it all. But
I got some comments on that.
Yeah, there are team names. Yeah. There are team names that would in all major sports that go
well,
you know, into that kind of side. So
the fact that there are certain hats that are allowed at all those stadiums and nobody barks about it is a whole yeah. other thing too.
So. I think it probably had to do something with the fact the guy was going to be on camera. That's my bet, is that somebody noticed he sat down and were like, hey, we can see that guy. That's not okay. But either way, yeah, you know, interesting thing from opening weekend that we had here north of the border. So, but I guess we'll end it, Ben.
Yeah,
we've kept it short for buckets. Us.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were just talking before we got on the air that, man, we should maybe try and keep this under an hour. And folks, you're getting your money's worth. We're actually giving you five extra minutes to, you know, go hug your kids and, you know, kiss your wives and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So, and then we'll get back to the long ones before we know it. But yeah, so we enjoyed. We'll end it before that. We enjoyed the first week of baseball. We're excited for where the rest of the minor leaguers are going to go. And we are 100% hitting that watch list on all of our various dynasty leagues to start checking players as they go. And a great thing to do is you put them down now, you check them out in a month. And if they're doing what they were doing a month ago, they're worth looking to acquire, pick up, whatever you can do. So, yeah.
Well, on that note, I am Ben Chase, talking with my man Robbie Baseball. Thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take pain. Don't need no credit card, ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden. It's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.